Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, November 15th, 2017. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I'm good. Good morning. Nice to be here.
Good morning. Good to have you here. It was great to see you last night at the Mac and Tech User Group.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, and we got to hang out with Bob Levitis and all the cool people that show up the group. Yeah, it was great to hang out. Andrew Orr, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing good today.
Awesome. Glad to have you here. And also glad that we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is VideoBlocks, and they do really high-quality stock video, audio, and photo content. So we'll talk about them soon. But before we do, I think it's probably time to talk patents again. And this happens a lot, but here we go. So there is a company called Aqua Connect, and they filed an International Trade Commission complaint that saying that Apple is infringing on their patents with several devices. So it's like Mac, iPhone, iPad, Apple TV. So these are all devices that are listed, excuse me, in their complaint. And the ITC has agreed to investigate the complaint. And of course, Aqua Connect is asking for exactly what every company does when they do this, which is an injunction permanently barring Apple from importing or selling these devices in the United States. And I believe, even though the ITC hasn't given us hardly any information about this, I believe that this stems from a patent infringement filing that Aqua Connect, Aqua Connect filed a patent infringement lawsuit against Apple, in October, and specifically claiming that that AirPlay and AirPlay mirroring infringes on patents that they hold. And so I believe that this is linked to that, even though the ITC hasn't said that explicitly. So, John, what do you think about this?
I think it's terrible. I think it's one of those cases where a corporation is just trying to leverage off of Apple's wealth. And it's a pity that the patent system is so loose in its standards for issuing patents. You know, the first thing I thought of was the Apple-Microsoft lawsuit from the, 80s or 90s, mm-hmm. when the judge said, no, a trash can is just a trash can. It's just, you know, you could, anybody can put a trash can on the desktop. You can't patent and trademark that stuff. I know over time the issue has evolve from trademarking to software patents, but still, if Microsoft could get away with its copying of Apple, then the standards have to be more uniform. It just seems to be a train wreck, and I don't think Aqua Connect is going to get away with this, just because they shouldn't. Nobody thinks they should, and so we have a situation where patents are issued and then governing bodies have to say, well, you're not going to get this because we don't want to give it to you.
Yeah.
So all right, so I'm going to add in a little bit more to this. I wasn't holding back, it's just more information that I'm thinking might be relevant. So, so Aqua Connect, they actually make products. They're not a patent troll in the sense that they're a patent holding company and just using that as their
revenue. Oh, I didn't say they were.
Revenue. Yeah. No, yeah. I just felt that was an important clarification, because so often that's exactly what's happening, and it would be easy for people to make that assumption. So I just wanted to get that clear. And right now, I don't know enough about the complaints to be able to say comfortably myself if I think that this is a warranted lawsuit or if this is a money grab.
I think I'm going to patent a quantum entanglement transporter. I'll be rich.
and I'm going to patent the Heisenberg compensator, and you're going to have to pay me royalties for every transport you do.
0.00043 cents.
Yes, but there's a lot of transports that are going to happen. Yeah. So with the little that we know right now, do you guys feel like there's even a remote chance that the ITC could issue a ruling that says Apple can't import iPhones, iPads, Apple TVs, and Macs into the United States, and it cannot sell them in this country?
I don't think so. That very rarely happens.
Yeah.
The ITC is loath to just, you know, close the doors and stop the imports. It has to be a really serious offense before that happens.
Yeah, and we're talking about products that, if they were not being sold, especially in the case of the iPhone, that would have a seriously negative impact on a lot of people, just not just within Apple, but outside of Apple. And I think that would have a very negative impact on the economy. And
oh, definitely.
And,
yeah, that's one of those things that the governing body takes into account when they're making a decision, the financial impact prior art.
Right. And so at this point, what I'm expecting is that Apple is filing motions to have the patents related to this case invalidated. And that's just standard operating procedure. So if the if those documents haven't been filed yet, they will be soon. And we don't even know when the ITC is going to start their investigation. They've just announced that, yes, they're going to do it. So there's no judge assigned to this yet. That has to happen. Once that happens, then there's a couple months window where they figure out when they think they might have their investigation done, and then they can announce that. And so, but there's all these windows. There's like a 45-day window and a 60-day window for all of these different elements that lead up into the investigation. So this isn't something that's going to happen like this week or even next week. And we're not going to have a ruling on this right away from the ITC. My guess is it won't be until sometime in 2018 when we get the ruling from the ITC.
I was watching a U.S. attorney on TV the other night, and she was talking about how, or he was talking about how you might have all the elements of a criminal violation in place, but you have to be confident that you can successfully prosecute the case, and that depends on some other variables. And I wonder if that should apply to the patent cases, where you might technically have a patent infringement on paper, but you're not allowed to file unless if it's deemed that the chances of winning are so minuscule that it's a waste of everybody's time. I wonder why that doesn't apply in this case.
I'm not sure how they would do that, because I think the way the system is working today, and I totally agree, it's the patent system in the United States is very broken. The way it works today is, I believe that the whole courtroom process and ITC investigations is what actually gives you that threshold that you're looking for, John. So they actually have to go through all the time-consuming, expensive legal stuff just to get to the point where they can decide whether or not something should actually come of this.
Well, that's good.
It's good, but at the same time, it's broken. So I don't know what the fix is, but I certainly hope that there are people smarter than us working on that. And then at some point, maybe we will have a much more effective patent system in the United States.
It's also broken in the sense that the defendant often ends up having to pay off just to get them out of their hair, and it's extortion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really unfortunate. But what is not unfortunate, what is very fortunate, we have a sponsor, and that sponsor is VideoBlocks. And what VideoBlocks does is they aggregate together all of this really high quality video stock footage, really high quality audio stock content and high quality stock images. And so they've broken these up into three services that you can subscribe to for $149 each a year. And then you get all of the stock content from that service that you can imagine for that $149 a year. So it's a really great deal. The content is really good. I have really enjoyed that when I have needed to have stock images and video content for the projects that I'm working on, which also includes articles from Mac Observer, I've been able to hop on the VideoBlocks site and find what I need very quickly and download really high resolution, high quality shots. It's been really nice. And I love how affordable it is, because there's so much that people need for their websites, for their personal projects, for their business. And you don't have to worry about royalties. You don't have to worry about getting a takedown notice because you're infringing on someone else's intellectual property. You don't have to worry about that, because all of the content that you get through VideoBlocks is royalty-free. And it stays that way for you even after you're done with the service, which I can't imagine why you would be. But, you know, like let's say for some reason you decide you only need the service for a year. The content that you got during that year is still yours to use, which is just awesome. They have over 150,000 videos. They're adding more all the time. They have over 100,000 audio clips. Yes, they're adding more all the time. And they have a metric bucket load of images, and there are more coming there all the time as well. And I love that they have photographs and vectors, and if you need it, it is probably there. So here's the deal. What you need to do is take advantage of this special offer that they have, and it's called the Triple Bundle. So go to videoblocks.com/TDO for the special offer. You get the Triple Bundle, which is all the video content, all the audio content, and all the images for $149 a year. So you get all three for the price of one of the packages, and that's a fantastic deal. Unlimited access to all of this content. This deal's good only in November and December, so don't procrastinate. I would hate for you to miss out. So here's what you need to do. You need to go to videoblocks.com/TDO to get all the stock video, audio, and images that you can imagine for just $149. That's VideoBlocks, VideoBlocks.com/TDO. Go there, $149 for all three services. It's fantastic. Just make sure you do it before the end of December, because that's when the deal ends. Thank you, VideoBlocks, for being our sponsor. All right, the other thing I want to talk about today, web browsers. And
yay.
I know this is something that gets you all
I am in somewhat of a nutcase.
Yeah. That's all right, because I have been on a quest for, well, since we got beyond the point when our only true option for a graphic web browser was Netscape Navigator, I've been on the hunt for the perfect web browser. And now Mozilla thinks that they have the right solution. Is that right? They're coming up with the same called it's not Mozilla, it's Firefox. Right? They're coming up with something called Quantum.
Yeah. Is that the interface, or is that the name of the browser?
I think it's the name of the browser.
Yeah.
And
I think
and
the interface is called Photon.
Yeah. So what I gather from this is that what Quantum is supposed to be is this new generation of web browsers that's I believe the technical term is more better.
Well, you know, the Firefox has taken a beating over the last few years by Chrome, which has surged, dominated market share because of its simplicity and its speed. I've always been a big fan of Firefox. For years and years I used it, because I wanted to steer away from a browser that had an agenda or was built by one of the tech giants. Mozilla is a company that was looking out for the interest of the user first and foremost. Mm-hmm. The problem was is that I was starting to get into some graphics issues in El Capitan on my Mac Pro, and Firefox seemed to be suffering from it, so I switched back to Safari to sort of soothe the El Capitan gods on my Mac and stayed with it.
So I've been back on Safari now.
So back on Safari, I'm sort of a traitor. You know, I kind of feel bad from time to time. I really got to get back into Firefox.
You know,
I don't care for the way tabs work in Safari. They get scrunched up in a way that I don't like.
I don't like how tabs work in any of these web browsers. So all of the mainstream browsers do the same thing. To me, they all have the same interface. It's tabs in a row across the top, and it's a horrible interface. I do not know who came up with that and thought it was a good idea, but they deserve to have a reprimand on their next employee evaluation.
What do you use, Andrew?
I actually use Safari for most of my stuff. And I mean, as a personal choice, I tend to avoid using Google products, so I don't use Chrome. And in the past, I have used Firefox. So I'm looking forward to seeing how Quantum Firefox has improved.
It's supposed to be a lot faster, and it's insanely customizable. Okay, I'm just having a hard time getting worked up and excited about this.
I always found the user interface for Firefox to be a little bit complicated, and Chrome user interface is just so laid out and so easy, and the settings are so clear. And I was always forgetting where to go to do certain things in standard Firefox. Now, maybe they've cleaned that up. If so, that'll be great. The question is, is that what Mozilla needed to do to return to competitiveness against Chrome? That remains to be seen. I mean, I guess they had an estimation of what they needed to do. Better interface, more speed. Will that turn the tide? I don't know.
You know, one of the groups that I see as big on Firefox are web designers, because there are a lot of plugins for Firefox that make their job easier for going through code and for, like, on the fly trying code changes on a site to see what happens. Mm-hmm. And anyhow, there's a lot of really great plugins for Firefox, and there's a lot of big problems. Like, Firefox is horrible at truly clearing out its own caches and cookies and all of that stuff that you want to get rid of to make sure that that things are loading accurately for you, you know, if you're doing a lot of coding work. I don't care how fast a web browser is. If it doesn't do the core things that I actually need it to do, it's irrelevant. But that said, I can see where the fast is a big thing, because time is money. John, you give me a hard time on a regular basis, and I'm totally fine with this, about being such a big OmniWeb fan.
Oh, you're still using that? One of the beautiful things about OmniWeb is the vertical tab in the sidebar.
Totally makes sense. Yes.
Oh, it's so cool.
It's a much more efficient way to handle the content that you're looking at, or all the web pages you're looking at, because you can actually see what the pages are called.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, little mini thumbnails in the sidebar. It's awesome.
It's awesome. So the web browser that I've been using a lot lately is Ghost Browser. And so this one, what it does is it lets you in like a single window, or you can do multiple windows, whatever. You can sandbox instances of the browser. So, like, I'll have it set up where I have three groups of tabs, and in one group of tabs, I'm logged into different online services that I use as one user. In another, I'll be logged in as a different user, and I can have these open, these tabs at the same time, and they're sandboxed from each other. So I can jump back and forth between users very quickly. I can have another set of tabs where I'm not looking at anything, so I see what the rest of the world sees, and it's really cool. And I'm kind of excited because they're adding in a new thing. They're working on it right now, where they're going to do tabs down the side as opposed to across the top. And then you can group and organize those tabs into folders and stuff. So that's one that I'm watching very closely. I think Ghost Browser has a lot of potential.
A browser has so much potential for mischief that I personally would never use a browser unless I know, really trust the company. I trust Apple to integrate the hardware and software and to protect my privacy and security pretty much. So that's why I don't have a heartburn over switching from Firefox to Safari. But if I went back to Firefox, that would be cool too. And I use different browsers for different purposes. I mean, I use Google Chrome for the Hangouts. I use Safari for my everyday browsing. But I stopped using Firefox because they stopped supporting Web of Trust for technical reasons. And that's one reason why I stay with Safari, because I get that little green circle and I know that it's safe to go to that website.
Yep, that's a big thing. We are out of time, but Andrew, before we go, I'm curious. Now that we've established that John and I are not loyal to a single browser, we play the field. How about you?
I think the main reason why I use Safari is just because it's integrated well with macOS and it's fast to use. But if I like Firefox Quantum, I'll probably make that my main browser. I really like all the customization you can do with it.
So let me know if it supports Web of Trust when you try it out. If you beat me to it.
Sounds good. All right, and I'll wait to hear what both of you say, because I've never been a big Firefox fan, so I'm curious to see what you guys think of it. And we really are out of time, so Andrew, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome. Good to be here.
It's great to have both of you here. And thank you to VideoBlocks for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, videoblocks.com/TDO, to get all the stock video, audio, and images that you can imagine for $149 for a year. Amazing deal. And that's only good in November, December. So don't procrastinate. Get signed up right away. Listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.